cameras decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decode the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with
Glory.
That is correct. And today we are dealing with something that's quite intriguing.
Yeah.
Okay. We are dealing with the famous trial of Galileo. Have you heard of Galileo?
No.
I know you have for a fact heard of Galileo because it's in a song. That
yeah,
you're
well,
very
I know about the song. I don't necessarily know about Galileo. I just
Do
like
you know
mocking,
Galileo.
I just like mocking that song.
What's the name of that song?
It's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, there we go. As long as, who sings it?
Ha.
Who sings that song?
It's the song is called Bohemian Rhapsody.
Who sings it?
I don't need to know. It could be ABBA. It could be. No,
it's not ABBA.
Wait, yeah, I don't need to know the artist. I know the artist,
tell
but...
Tell me!
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's fine. So anyway, Galileo, that's his first name. Guess what his second name is?
Francisco.
Galilei. I'm not even lying.
Huh?
Galileo Galilei. Imagine that's your name, guys. Your parents didn't like you.
What do you mean? Maybe it's like his name came from like some kind of tradition.
Who knows? But he was a man who changed the course of science. However, the trial of Galileo is one of the most significant events in the history of science, religion, and law. But the question was it a fair trial? So he was a scientist.
Yeah,
you understand that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that why in the I don't get why in the song they sing Galileo? Did
Galileo,
you know?
They say Galileo Figaro.
May I think it's did you know?
No. Listen, Bohemian Rhapsody is just a random bunch of words put together. There's no real.
Yeah, it could be a 5-year-old song for all you know. I'm kidding.
Oh, guys, the one time I had Gloria to edit this song for me, the grief he gave me.
It was fun.
I received grief every
fun
day.
Fun times.
It's not such a bad song. It's actually really a vibe if you listen to it.
Yeah, it is.
As for someone who likes rock, doesn't even like Queen, make it make sense.
I like hard rock.
Oh my goodness. So
metal.
You like metal?
Yes, you know that. I don't know why you're surprised.
What's the difference between metal and heavy metal? Are they the same thing?
Okay, let's just say hard rock.
Okay. Because I'm about to be like, you don't like heavy metal. Exactly.
I do.
What? When do you listen to that?
I can sing songs that will bring back the memories, but I'm not
Let's
singing
not
because
sing
that's not part of the show.
On this show, I think you'll just hurt the listeners' ears. But anyway, I'm joking. Let's set the stage. We are in the early 1600s, and Galileo was an Italian astronomer, physicist, and polymath. No idea what a polymath is. I think it's to do with mathematics. And he was about to challenge the most powerful institution in Europe. Can you take a guess what that is? It's very simple answer when you think about it.
The problem is, there's a name that I'm thinking about, but I forgot what the name is. But I have an idea of what I want to say.
I'm going to say it, and you're going to tell me if you think of the same thing.
Say.
The Catholic Church.
Oh, never mind. I was thinking of the Special Force of England.
MI6.
Yes.
Yeah, this is in the 1600s. Take a moment of silence because I don't even know what to say.
This is the part where the Mr. Bean song plays.
His discoveries would alter humanity's view on the cosmos and the Earth's place in it. But this would come at a high cost. A trial that would ultimately force him to recant his beliefs and spend the rest of his life under house arrest. Okay, so let's go back in time and explore the story of Galileo's trial, a clash between science, religion, and the authority of the church. Now, just a quick brief summary. The Catholic Church at the time was incredibly powerful. Okay, incredibly powerful, right? And they had some very interesting traditions and beliefs that, for example, I personally do not agree with. They were, for example, you had to pay to have salvation. So you had to pay the priest
and do confessions.
No, as in to have salvation, you had to pay a fee.
Oh.
To be saved.
I wonder how much that cost.
Okay, well, depended on who you were, I think. There was lots of nepotism. For example, only the priests could read the Bible because it was in Latin. There were a lot of controversies with the church, and this Galileo story is another one of those controversies. So, Galileo was born in 1564 in Pisa, Italy, where the Tower of Pisa is. The gifted student originally studied medicine, but quickly turned his attention to mathematics and physics. Over time, he would become one of the most important figures in the scientific revolution. His work in astronomy would not only change how we view the universe, but also lay the foundation for modern science as we know it. So a very important guy. In 1609, Galileo heard about the invention of the telescope, which was being used to magnify distant objects. Inspired by this, he improved upon the design, creating his own telescope, which was much more powerful than any of its predecessors. With this new invention, Galileo was able to observe the heavens in ways that no one had done before. He discovered that the moon had mountains and craters, that Jupiter had four moons orbiting around it, and that the Milky Way was made up of countless stars. How powerful is that telescope that you can see that far?
Yeah.
I mean, we see that stuff today with satellites, not with a little glass telescope.
Yeah.
That must be insanely powerful, the telescope he created.
Yeah.
But it was his observation of the phases of Venus that would create the biggest stir. So, in 1910, Galileo published his findings in a book called Starry Messenger. I'm not going to read the Italian because that will just be a crime in itself. Which confirmed the heliocentric model of the solar system, proposed by the astronomer Nicholas Copernicus. Yes. The heliocentric model suggested that Earth and the other planets orbited the Sun rather than the Earth being at the center of the universe. So this was a very strong belief the Catholic Church pushed in those days. The Earth was at the center, so not the Sun.
Yeah.
So the Sun moved around us, and the moon moved up. Everything moved around us. Now, Galileo was like, this is inaccurate.
Yeah.
Okay? And this obviously would cause conflict. So the heliocentric theory had already been suggested by Copernicus in the 16th century, but it was controversial. The Catholic Church at the time held the geocentric model as the truth, largely because it was consistent with certain biblical interpretations. I don't remember the Bible saying we're at the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
But no point.
The church's interpretation of the Bible held that the earth was at the center of the universe, a belief that had been upheld for centuries. To challenge this view was seen as not only a scientific affront, but also challenged the authority of the church itself. Those days, the church held huge authority, even over kings and queens.
Yeah,
okay?
They did.
They were the Roman Catholic Church was incredibly powerful. Okay, and so Galileo, however, was undeterred. He continued to promote the Copernican model, arguing that the evidence was irrefutable. In 1616, the church issued a decree declaring that the heliocentric model was formally heretical, which means it's a heresy, as it appeared to contradict scriptures. The church's position was clear. The geocentric view was the only one that could be supported by the Bible. This set the stage for a showdown between Galileo and the Vatican. Galileo tried to navigate the political landscape carefully. He didn't outright declare that the Bible was wrong. Again, I don't see where this was said in the Bible. But instead suggested that scripture and science could coexist. Which I agree. I mean, scripture proves a lot of the science that we have today.
Yeah.
However, his continued promotion of the heliocentric model brought him into direct conflict with the church. The conflict reached a boiling point in 1932 when Galileo published his most famous work, and again, I'm not going to read the Spanish, called Dialogue Concerning the Two Chief World Systems. You have to be brave to publish that. That's not some easy thing to do in those days. In this book, it was also not easy because in those days, people took the church literally as law, that was black and white, church right, everything else wrong. So to convince people of what you were saying is incredibly difficult. In this book, he made a strong case for the Copernican theory using evidence from his own telescopic observations. The book was a bestseller, but it also caused an uproar amongst church officials. The church was enraged by Galileo's choice to present the model as fact. In the book, Galileo used a fictional character named Simplicio, no idea, to represent those who believed in the geocentric theory. This character was portrayed as slow-witted and uninformed. Oh, that's quite harsh. That's basically calling the Catholic Church uninformed and slow.
Yep.
That's a bold step, Mr. Galileo. Which angered the church, who saw it as a direct insult. Now, I do agree with that. I agree that, yes, in this case, the church was wrong. We know from today that the sun is the center of the universe. Do I think insult was needed? No. Could he have presented his facts and findings without directly mocking the church? Absolutely. I don't think that was needed. Just like if Gloria was a scientist today and he had proved something and I prove him wrong, I'm not going to call him a stupid idiot in my paper. I'm just going to present the evidence and people must
read it.
Exactly. Do you get what I'm saying?
But also, I'm thinking about what are the chances there's not a plot to sort of, for a long time, debunk, any kind of Christian theory.
Okay, fair enough. In 1932, the Vatican began an investigation into Galileo's work. And in 1632, the Vatican began an investigation into Galileo's work. And in 1633, Galileo was formally tried by the Roman Catholic Inquisition. The charges against him were serious. Heresy for promoting a view that was in direct conflict with the church's teaching and suspicion of sedition, for suggesting that the Pope had been wrong in his public statements about the heliocentric theory. The trial of Galileo was held in Rome in 1633. Galileo was now 69 years old and suffering from health problems. He was summoned before the Inquisition. He was not allowed to speak freely, and his fate was in the hands of the church. Galileo's defense was that he was merely presenting a scientific theory, not a theological one, and that he had never intended to challenge the authority of the church. But I disagree with that because he indirectly does mock them in his writings.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. However, the Inquisition was not interested in Galileo's defense. The trial was more about protecting the church's authority and suppressing any ideas that threatened its control over knowledge and truth. Galileo was forced to publicly recant his views. He was found guilty of heresy and was sentenced to house arrest for the rest of his life. It's said that as Galileo left the courtroom, he muttered the famous words, "And yet it moves," referring to the earth's motion around the sun, despite the church's condemnation. The trial of Galileo had profound consequences. Galileo's recantation marked a significant moment in the tension between science and religion, and his house arrest effectively ended his active scientific career. But his ideas lived on. Despite the church's efforts to suppress the theory, Galileo's work became foundational for future scientists like Johannes Kuiper, Isaac Newton, and others who would continue to develop and prove the Copernican model. Interestingly, the church eventually reversed its stance on Galileo's ideas. In 1822, the Vatican allowed the publication of works that supported the heliocentric theory, and in 1992, Pope John Paul II officially cleared Galileo of any wrongdoing, acknowledging the church's error in condemning him. About 300 years too late. But anyway, the trial of Galileo is often seen as a tragic moment in history of science, a moment where intellectual curiosity and the search for truth clashed with a powerful institutional authority. It raises the question, should institutions, whether religious, political, or otherwise, have the power to control knowledge and silence dissent? In the centuries since Galileo's trial, we've seen many more instances where scientific progress has been met with resistance from established powers. But Galileo's trial serves as a reminder that in the end, truth will often find a way to emerge, even against the greatest odds. Galileo's work paved the way for a new era of science, and his legacy continues to inspire who dare to challenge the conventional wisdom and seek the truth. So, yeah. What do you think?
You see,
I think it's very tricky.
Yeah, it's tricky. Mm. And because, like, I'm a little bit divided. And reason why is because obviously I'm happy for this realization that, well, the false narratives that was used before to obviously trick the people of the church could not be used anymore.
Yeah.
But again, as I said earlier, this would be used to sort of like disprove Christianity, especially the fact that what was being painted to be Christianity or Catholicism
was actually wrong. Yeah.
So,
well, in my mind, I've studied a lot. I studied my whole second year of university, studied this period of time, so I know a lot about it. And if you look at this time, there were some very big issues with the church of the time, especially the Catholic Church. That's why we had Martin Luther actually splitting from the Catholic Church, and that's why today we have all the denominations of Christians that we have. And so I do think, I mean, even the fact like they wanted to use Christianity as an excuse in a lot of places for colonization, and things like that, there was a lot of it wrong, but I definitely think it stems more out of tradition and culture than what the Bible
actually and says. For me, one of the big things is like Christianity and science, unlike today, they actually go hand in hand. Science is proving true what Christianity actually says in the Bible, and so slowly and surely people are starting to discover that, but it's not necessarily coming out as that in the general public, which is
so for my perspective, I definitely think the Catholic Church at that time was trying to hold on to their power. And to hold on to their power, they couldn't be wrong.
So they made...
And so was the trial fair? No. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But this was at a time where new things weren't celebrated like they celebrated. New discoveries weren't exactly celebrated like they celebrated today.
Yeah.
And so I definitely don't think the trial, I don't think Galileo went about it the right way, because I agree that there was definitely a negative bias towards the church and the way he spoke in his writings. But like you said, I definitely think science and Christianity go hand in hand. I mean, some examples, they've shown, so you know when rock formations form, there's according to evolution, there's supposed to be certain levels and order that they form.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Grand Canyon, they're in completely the wrong order.
Yeah.
And it's been proved that the Grand Canyon was formed by a massive sweep of water, aka the flood. Or, I mean, if you look at the Red Sea, I mean, if you go down there, there are Egyptian chariots sitting at the bottom of the floor.
Yeah.
Proving that the sea split, and that's how...
And how close are they to, like, the condition that they were made?
The salt has kind of preserved them.
Preserved it, I figured. Mm.
I mean, if you took them out the ocean, they'd crumble. That's why they leave them there.
Oh, yeah.
They can't be exposed to the air. It's the same thing with the Titanic. If they try to take the Titanic, it's going to just crumble.
So that's a nice artifact under the sea that nobody can really...
Exactly. And if you look at... There is so much that, like, is explained when you put science and the Bible together. Even, for example, our moon has been moving away from the Earth since the beginning of time, and at the rate and change it's moving, the Earth can only be 6,000 years old, not million, trillion, trillion, trillion years that they're always talking about. So when you look at Christianity and science combined, a lot of stuff makes much more sense. I think at the time of Galileo, however, he was faced with the fact that the church was this huge authority.
Yeah.
That didn't want to be challenged. I think that was the biggest problem. Mm. And like I said, there's a lot of stuff at that time I did not agree with what the Catholic Church was doing. There is a lot of wrong that they were doing. But that's also because men put their own ideas and beliefs into the religion.
Yeah.
That's where things went sideways. But otherwise, yeah. It's a very interesting story. And I think it's one that people will continue to debate for many years to come. And it just reminds us that, you know, the only person who's that we only place we can really find the truth is the word, because
and by the word she means the word Bible. Of God in the Bible.
Yeah, I should have been more clear about that. Yeah. But otherwise, that has been that for this week. We hope you have enjoyed. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye bye. All the choices you made, did you make them again?
Like what you're listening to? Of course you do.
Of course you do.
Follow us on all social media platforms and engage with us. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and YouTube.
This is Ready on Demand.
What you want, when you want it. It's Active FM. Active FM, the Netflix of radio, but better.
Active FM, radio has never been better.